All right, let's please open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Last week, we talked about the different dispensations. We spent some time going over the different dispensations that the Lord has used throughout time, different ways that the Lord required for a person or a people or a nation to get close to God, the way that they could come to Him. We talked about Paul being a prisoner of the Lord because he knew that he was purchased by the blood of Jesus. Paul knew that he was a prisoner of the Lord. And likewise, I would like all of us to understand that we've been purchased by His blood. If you've bowed the knee to Jesus, if you have bowed the knee to Jesus, understand that you are no longer yours. You are now His. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. We talked about that last week. We talked about the apostles and the authority that the apostles had. And we talked about the fact that recognized apostleship as far as the church is concerned, church structure and authority within the church. That ended with the Apostle John. And we talked about the unity in Christ. Without the unity in Christ, in that it would not be deceived by false doctrines, that the unity in Christ would be pure among all of us. So with that being said, chapter 4, verse 25 here, we're going to continue in this, and really it's a continuation right out of last week's study. There's really no break here. Verse 25 says this, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Again, Paul here is speaking about the unity in Christ, the body of Christ. And, you know, this, what Paul's doing here, it's practical teaching. He's given us two sides of the coin. Throughout this whole teaching tonight, you're going to see two sides of the coin. It's do this, don't do that. It's going to be this way, don't be that way. And so it really is just a practical teaching, and we can be that way because by our flesh, we naturally want to be the way that we shouldn't be. But with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and as we walk with the Lord more and more, longer and longer, and as we go through that sanctification process, we start living spiritually minded instead of living through the flesh. And so that's what Paul's exhortation here is to us all throughout this entire book. It's Paul's exhortation for us to live a certain way, in a way that would be pleasing to Jesus, in a way that would be pleasing to God. So here in verse 25, he says, speak truth with each other. Zechariah says, speak each man the truth to his neighbor. All right. Don't lie. Be full of truth. Don't deceive one another. How can the body function correctly if it is receiving faulty signals, mixed signals, signals of confusion? Right. Well, it can't. It can't function properly. At least it can't function optimally. And the body of Christ should function optimally. And the more that we are all in tune with one another, the more that we know one another, the more that we walk with the Lord and our minds and our hearts are transformed by Him. All at the same time, every single one of us, we can walk in unity with one another and not give each other mixed signals, not give each other signals of confusion, so that even this little fellowship here, that we can walk optimally with the Lord. And understand what he's trying to tell us. One thing that we should always do with one another, and this is one thing I always remind, like the youth group and anybody for that matter, is we all put our pants on one leg at a time. All right, we're all human here. Okay, nobody's better than the other person. Yes, the Lord has called us to be certain things, and you may be a helper, and another one may be a leader, and we all have different functions in the body of Christ. But still, we all put our pants on one leg at a time. The sooner we can break down the facade and the barriers with one another that are only born in pride and fellowship or pride in flesh anyway, the better we can get along with one another, the better we can function more optimally. And so we really should live in the humility and the freshness, each one of us with one another, in this spiritually sensitive body of Christ. Verse 26 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." All right, bitterness. Raise your hand if you've ever been steeped in bitterness. This is one thing that can just wreck you, all right? Wreck you, because bitterness, it has a tendency to want to hang around for a long time. And it is just a killer, you guys. I've suffered with bitterness with different family members, different people in my life. And, I mean, the root of bitterness is just a pride heart, right? Just a pride heart. And really, there is no reason on the planet, if two believers who are forgiven by Jesus, they should always be able to come to one another and reconcile with one another. Bitterness should always be able to be stripped away from our lives. It should always, if the Lord Jesus is reigning in our lives and we have that spirit-filled heart, we should always be able to strip bitterness from our lives and not let it have a foothold in our lives, because it's a killer, right? So be angry and do not sin. This comes out of Psalm chapter 4. And in Psalm chapter 4, David had his enemies set about him. And while he was lying awake at night, he would be angry about his circumstance. Right? He's got his enemies. He's being chased by his enemies. And when he'd go to bed at night, he's just thinking, "Lord, what's going on here?" And he would have all this anxiety and anger. But he didn't want to be found in sin at the same time. So what he would do is he would give that anger and anxiety over to the Lord. If you read through that chapter, Psalm 4, that's what his intention was to give that anger, give that anxiety over to the Lord, so that he could be angry with his enemies, but yet not be found in sin. And so instead of being fixated and consumed in this, he wanted the Lord to take it, and likewise we should too. In Psalm 55, David says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you." Peter said to cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. And Jesus himself said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So all through the scriptures, I don't care if you're in the Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter. All through the scriptures, you are going to see a constant thread of not allowing anxiety and anger and bitterness to overtake you, and to give all these cares to the Lord, because he loves us. Because we are not to have a spirit of fear. We're not to have a spirit of worry. That's not what we're called to do. And we cast all that stuff off to the Lord. I know it's easier said than done. Trust me, I do. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can get that done. Verse 28, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." So we always have to ask ourselves the question, are we living in the old man or the new man? Are we living in the old woman or the new woman? Which one is it? The old man or woman is a thief. The new man labors with honest scales. All right, the heart's been changed. The new man gives with a cheerful heart. The old man is corrupted. The new man looks to be graceful. All right, so you got that coin, right? Both sides of the coin. Which one are we going to be? Are we going to live in the flesh, or are we going to live in the spirit? And again, Paul's exhortation is to live by the spirit. You know, if we're bought by the blood of Jesus, if we are now living in him, we have to live that way. Verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Early in our walk, we have a tendency to grieve the Holy Spirit. I know I did. Early in my walk, Communion Sundays, they were a every time we had Communion Sunday, I sat there with my head in my lap. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for the week that I just had, for the way I acted, for the things I said, for the way I behaved, for the things I did, for the sin I partook in, you know, all those things. And I was grieving the Holy Spirit while I was doing that. Every week. I remember. And those were horrible. I'm going to tell you right now, many Communion Sundays, I'd be in there hungover, drinking the night before, and grieving the Holy Spirit, just grieving Him, and crying my eyes out. And my walk is much better now with the Lord. And now on Communion Sundays, I can rejoice with the Spirit. I can be, you know, just come to Jesus with a thankful heart, taking communion, and just rejoicing in Him. It's just a beautiful thing. Through the sanctification process, we strive to grieve the Holy Spirit less and less, and desire to please God more and more. That's what the sanctification process is, all right? Becoming more holy, becoming more righteous as we continue to walk. And I like the word sealed, and I also like the term here, day of redemption, because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's a fact. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit for time and eternity, and we can take great comfort in that. And we should take great comfort in that. Because if we're sealed, why should we continue to grieve Him whom we are sealed by? Right? That doesn't make much sense. Why should we continue to grieve Him in whom we are sealed by? We are sealed up. We're bought and paid for. Again, we're purchased and redeemed by His blood. All right? So we need to live that way. 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Again, which mind and heart are we living in, the flesh or the spirit? That's what Paul's telling you here. You know, take stock. Look in the mirror. Which one are you living in? And Paul is pressing us to make a decision to live in the Spirit. That's what he's doing here. He's pressing us. And in the body of Christ, with one another, we should be pressing one another also, right? Pressing one another to live in the Spirit and not the flesh. So, grieving the Holy Spirit, not a good thing. And we never advance in our spiritual state when we're constantly grieving the Holy Spirit. And we want to grow in Christ. We want to grow in Jesus. I know I do, and everybody, I would imagine all of you want to also. And it's something that we seek after, that we search for, is that growth in the Holy Spirit, that growth in Jesus, eyes fixed, narrow path. So starting with chapter 5 here, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. If you're reading in Numbers right now, today you read about the daily offerings, and how many times was a burnt offering made, and it was a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord, right? And likewise, we're supposed, you know, so that was a daily offering in Numbers, a daily offering that they gave. Likewise, we should be a living sacrifice every day. Paul talks about it in Romans. We are to be a living sacrifice every day. We're supposed to be imitators of God. That's what Paul's calling us to do here. Be an imitator of God. We are ambassadors, we're representatives of the Lord Jesus. And that should be emanating from us at all times. Striving to have the same mind as Jesus. Striving to have the same character as Jesus. Verse 1 here says to walk in love. We really hit home on this last week where we talked about not just hearing, but doing, right? We talked about the noun form, which was understanding what our theology was or is, and then acting on it. Then we talked about what we should be a verb, right? Our lives should be a verb, not just a noun. And we should walk in love. Because if we don't, it's considered a dead faith. And if we have a dead faith, we just look like a hypocrite, and we don't want any of that. We want to take what we know, and we want to apply it in our lives, and we want other people to see it in our lives. Not just hearers, but doers of the Lord also. And so how does Paul say God receives us when we walk in faithfulness to Christ? A sweet-smelling aroma every time. And I'd rather be a sweet-smelling aroma to God than a stinky stench in his nostrils, that's for sure. Because we aim to please him. That's what we do. We aim to please God. He's our creator. We're the creation. We're here to worship him, and we're here to know him. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather, the other side of the coin here, giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So, fornication. This is a sin that has very well been more desensitized in our culture than probably any other sexual sin. Completely desensitized. How long now have we heard the term common law? You know, that's my common law husband or wife, whatever you want to call it. Partner, the term partner, totally normalized, right? That's my partner. It was normalized well before I was born, and it's been normalized for a long time, the sin of fornication. It is not anything to the world for people to be living together, not married, fornicating with one another, and the way that God would want us to do is be bound with one another in a covenant in marriage, right? Covenant of marriage. And so, but not just fornication, that's just where the enemy started, and now all these other sexual sins, they're becoming normalized too. Homosexuality has absolutely been normalized. If we look at back at history, pedophilia will be next. That will be the next thing that gets normalized. Transsexuals, that's getting absolutely normalized right now. So there's a process here, and if you look back at history, it always starts that way. Fornication then kind of ends with a debased mind of pedophilia, and after that, it's pretty much all over. So uncleanness, filthiness, filthy mouth, wandering eyes, these are worldly signs of character not fitting for the new man or the new woman in Christ, right? We're putting off that old flesh. We're living in the Spirit now. Paul says, for this you know. Why would you know now the new man, the new woman in Christ, where to behave and conduct yourself in such a way, all right? For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Why would we live that way? Why would we live that way? We're a new creature in Christ. We have a new mind. We have a new heart. We should have the mind of Christ, pure, holy, a mind of righteousness. That's what we're supposed to have. With the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can be determined to behave and conduct ourselves in a way that is fitting to please God. Remember, the process of sanctification, it's a long process. It's going to go on, like I said last week, till the day we die. It's going to go on for a long time. And when we finally die and get our new body, that's when we're going to be glorified, and that's when that process will be over. And until then, we just want to be led by the Holy Spirit in all these things. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Empty words, what are they? Words that have zero spiritual value in light of eternity. That's what empty words are. And remember what all of your interests were before the Lord, before you got saved, before you bowed the knee? Remember all those conversations you used to have? It was usually NASCAR, a lot of NASCAR, a lot of NFL, a lot of NBA, sitting around the lunch table with the fellas at work talking about all kinds of empty things, right? But now that we are dwelling in Him, we enjoy and find value in speaking about spiritual things, with Jesus being the centerpiece. That's what we find joy in now. I know I like to talk about the Lord, and that's why I like being with the body of Christ. That's why I like fellowshipping with all you guys, because you guys are the only one that want to talk about the Lord. Everyone else doesn't want to talk about the Lord, so. And I'm the one that changed, not them, and that's okay. But even more than that, Paul is warning us to not be deceived by these empty words. All right. So the father of lies is able to take these empty words, and those empty words deceive us. All right. Don't allow the lust of worldly enticement to draw you away from a pure devotion to Jesus. All right. Don't allow that. Don't allow the craftiness of men to lure you into an empty life, when if we stay devoted to Jesus, we can have an abundant life full of mercy, grace, and truth. That's what we want in our lives. Verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. You could do an entire sermon series on this. Walk as children of light, exposing darkness with light, things made manifest by the light. You could do 10 sermons on this. But what I find interesting is this. In verse 10, it says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So, if we're walking this way, and we're finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, something that really hit me today as I was studying this is I really personalized this. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And as we walk and are sanctified, right, we are on a continual journey of finding out what is acceptable to the Lord in our lives. And what may be acceptable to Him today while we walk might not necessarily be acceptable to Him tomorrow or next year as we walk, right? The relationship we have gets stronger as we become more in tune with Him. So things change with the Lord. As we continue to walk, as we continue to grow, I think that things change with Him in what He deems is acceptable from you. Our responsibilities change as we grow in Him. What was acceptable to Him now in my spiritual walk in the beginning is probably not necessarily acceptable to Him now. He expects more of me because I'm growing in Him. And so those things change. It changes with our obedience, right? As our obedience in Him grows, we fall deeper in love with Him. And so different things, better things become more acceptable to Him. Verse 14, therefore He says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This passage right here, Isaiah 26, is often alluded to. Which says, your dead shall live together with my dead body, they shall arise. This is a common verse that gets taught right alongside this passage. But what I think is befitting here is Paul says in Romans, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and the Christ will give you light. This is an admonition, something that Paul wants us to do. Verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly. What does circumspectly mean? It's an odd word. Properly, guarded, and cautious. All right, that's what how Paul wants us to walk. He wants us to walk properly. He wants us to walk guarded. He wants us to walk with caution. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Are we walking with wisdom as God tells us we should? Is that what we're doing? You know, when you read through Proverbs and you read through some of the Psalms, you know, you get all those scriptures with wisdom. Are we walking in wisdom? It's a question that we really do have to ask ourselves daily. We do have to do a daily spiritual check. Maybe a few of them throughout the day, morning, noon, and night. Just check ourselves. Are we walking in wisdom? Are we walking in good spiritual discernment in all that we do? Are we discerning everything that we're thinking? Are we discerning everything that we're saying? Are we walking in discernment? And then are we redeeming the time, not wasting it away on ungodly things? Right? Redeeming the time. One thing I've definitely noticed as I grow in the Lord is my time with the Lord, it's very, very precious. It becomes very, very precious. I want to redeem that time as He would see fit, right? I don't want to waste any time, you know. We want to spend time with our wives and our husbands and our family, and we want to be able to rest, and we want to be able to just have those sweet times with one another, but at the same time, we have to check ourselves constantly each and every day. Are we wasting our time, just wasting it away? We don't want to do that. We want to redeem the time. My slogan for 2022, I've told many of you this, is zero apathy. Zero apathy. And that's, these last 2 years with COVID, it's definitely taught me this. I don't want to have any apathy with anyone that I'm talking to. Anyone that I'm sharing with, all right, because it's the apathetic nature of men that has largely gotten us to where we're at now in our nation. It really is. So the days were evil in Paul's day, and they are increasingly evil now. It really does seem like they're becoming more and more evil by the hour. You know, each time you turn on the news, each time you read a headline, it seems it's more evil than the one you read the day before. And so, verse 17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You know, when Skyler brought his little brother into men's breakfast on Saturday, he comes in there, and I know, and nobody else at men's breakfast really knew, but I knew this kid, he's never stepped foot inside of a church in his life. He has no idea who God is. He has no idea who Jesus is. He has no idea what the Bible is. He just doesn't know. He was never raised that way. He has no idea what any of these things are. And he comes in and he sits down, and there's a room full of men, grown men, singing songs. Steve's playing the guitar, and a bunch of grown men singing songs to our God. And I know that he's just sitting there, and it's just major culture shock to him. I guarantee this kid is sitting there, what is going on around here? This is insanity. But it's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I went and got him a Bible, you know, and so that he could follow along with the teaching. And you know, he's only 14, but after men's breakfast, he walked up to me. He goes, do you want this back? And I said, nope, that's yours. And he just kind of pulled it back like that. And I said, "Till I get you a better looking one." And then, and so, you know, we can just be praying for this young child. You know, we're all, you know, the Lord wants, he wants to gather each and every one of us, all the young ones, all of us. He wants to gather us unto him. And so we really should have a mind to be sharing with others, to really be pleading with them and wanting them to come into the fold of Jesus. Because this is where eternity is. This is where goodness is. This is where holiness is. This is where righteousness is. This is where it all dwells, is in Jesus. And really to think that a person, anyone, is going to spend an eternity separated from God, you know, it's a heartbreaking thing to understand. So all of these things that Paul's telling us, I know that we covered quite a bit of scripture here, but all of these things that Paul is exhorting us to be, they're unnatural to the new believer. They really are, because what you're doing is you're crossing over from death to life. But you still have that flesh hanging on you, and it's hard to become spiritually minded as you keep walking with the Lord. But again, through that sanctification process, it becomes a way of life. It becomes normalized. Walking in the Spirit, it becomes normal to you. We want the Spirit to become more profound and active in our lives as He begins to change us. Because what He is what we want. Let me repeat that. What He is what we want. Amen. And really, it's a miracle. It's a miracle that anyone would even come to the Lord anymore. And so He is long-suffering. He is patient, but it's not going to last forever. So let's just make sure that we redeem the time. Amen. Let's make sure that we redeem the time that we have here and just try to bring everyone we can into the fold of Christ, because I want to go home. I think you guys want to go home, and there's going to come a time when that last person bows the knee and we can all go home, and then we're going to live with Him for eternity. Father, we thank You so much. We thank You so much, and we do take Paul's teaching here, Lord, an apostle with authority, Lord. We take his teachings, we take his exhortations here. This is just really what it is, Lord, an exhortation unto us that we would not live in the old man, but we would live in the new man, that our minds would truly be transformed in You, Lord, and that we would not live in the flesh, but live in the Spirit, and that we would become more comfortable living in the Spirit as each day goes, day by day, hour by hour, Lord. We say these things in Your name. Amen.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
Amen. Peace be with you guys. And I pray that with the Holy Spirit, you guys would walk in holiness and righteousness throughout the week, and just have Jesus on your mind and on your tongue as we go about serving the Lord. We'll see you guys later. Thank you.